Oh my. CJ will talk, so. Or should I say Chad Jeremy? By the way, he is in error. We were not going to fill it with ice. Last time they drained it down halfway and put hot water in it. The heater went out, and the heater's going to be here on Thursday. I said, couldn't we do it, expedite it? And they go, they bring it here in the Pony Express. So that's how it's coming. So, but it will be warm, believe me. So if you're getting water baptized, it will be warm in the water. We've been on a series here talking about the motto for the church that I believe he has for us for this year, and it's get in the mix in 2026. We're not supposed to sit on the sidelines. We're supposed to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And then follow through and do that, to hear his voice, to hunger for his presence. Well, that's why on Sunday morning when we're ushering in the presence of the Lord through worship, I was talking to somebody who came in and said, I got to hurry and get in there because this is my best part. And she looked at me and she goes, no, but you're a close second, but that's my best part. I said, hey, it's my best part too, so don't worry about it. But it's important. It is the best part. It is the best part because we get to connect with God. We get to connect with the Lord. He gets to speak to us individually, and it's powerful. So we need to get into the mix. Your life is bigger than just yourself, and God wants you to use it in amazing ways, and he will do that. We talked about Esther. We talked about Jacob and Joseph and Gideon and the 12s and Noah. Last week I said, why the flood? And the answer was sin, wickedness, evil, violence, and corruption had taken over the world. God was done. The good creation that he had at the very beginning when he said it was good just went south. And the rest of creation paid for it because man went south. And it said that God was sorry that he made man in the earth and was grieving his heart. And I said, I don't want to ever do something with my life that grieves God, that makes him sorry. I'm sorry that I made you. I want him to be glad that he made me. You know, the other thing too is he's so wonderful because when we do those things that don't really please him, thank God for forgiveness and that he's made a way for us to come back to him and to receive that. And he doesn't hold it over us, but he forgives us and we get to move on. So let's stand. We're going to talk about our scripture. We did the first part of Noah. We're going to do the second part this morning in Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. You may be seated. Noah. Noah is born, as we talked about last time, about 1,000 years after Adam and Eve. He's probably alive in around the year, born in around 3000 BC. And then 600 years later, in about 2400 BC, we're going to have the flood. In Genesis chapter 6, I want to go through this. We're going to go through I have a lot of stuff today. I have more notes than I've ever had. So I'm going to have to run through it really fast. I had the staff just wondering if I was crazy, and I probably am. But I need to go through a number of things because I want to deliver stuff. So we're going to speed through some stuff. But Noah got in the mix. Noah got in the mix in chapter 8. But Noah found grace. Thank God for grace. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. I love it that it's Noah, that it's 6, which is the number of man, 8, which is the number of grace. And here it is. Number of new beginnings. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Noah found grace because God's going to do a new thing in the earth. He's going to redo some things. Do you know in all of our lives, he creates that and gives us that new beginning, that new beginning, that new beginning. We come to him and repent and he wipes the slate clean and we get a new beginning. It is so awesome. His mercies are new every morning. He is so good to us. The word grace here, clean, and it means graciousness, kindness, favor, pleasant, precious. It comes from a word that means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, be merciful. If that isn't what God did to us, if isn't what he does to us every day, he bends his knee. Grace is God bending his knee down to you, giving you what you don't deserve, giving an inferior person, a sinner, something he doesn't deserve, a leg up. He'll cancel the debt. He forgives us. God is so good to us. And Noah, he found grace. And we get to find grace every time we go to him and say, Lord, get on your knee and say, God, I need you in my life. And he bows down. He's just so personal. We don't have a God that demands you. No, you got to do this and that and all. He bows down to us to lift us up off the ground after we've messed up. Wow. What a God. What a God, what a God, what a God. There should be a song like that. What a God, what a God. We're the inferior and he bows down and picks us up. He cares about us. The word Noah, Noach, is the Hebrew. It means rest, quiet, settle down, to dwell, to stay, to give comfort. One of the commentators said, repose. The word repose refers to a state of resting, sleep, or tranquility, characterized by a peaceful, calm, and dignified manner. And that's what God was going to do. God's intent was to bring rest, peace, calm, and comfort to a world that was full of unrest, violence, corruption, and sin. The only way to do that, though, was a reset. A reset due to the uncontrollable violence that was happening. 1,000 years of unchecked sin, 1,000 years of man doing it his own way, 1,000 years of abusing and using one another to where it was the standard that every man for himself, because someone was going to take advantage of you, someone was going to abuse you, someone was going to hurt you, because it's all out for ourselves. They did whatever they wanted to do. There were no restraints. Caused uncontrollable violence, corruption. And therefore, God said, I need to reset. I need to reset. Rather than giving up on his creation, on mankind, he decided to do a reset. Have you ever had your computer go wacky? It's like, it's not working right. And so you push Control, Alt, Delete. And then over here comes a little round thing, at least on my computer. You push it, and then it says, you know, turn it off or reset. Thank God he didn't just say, turn it off. I'm turning it off on humans. I'm done. I'm just going to create dogs from now on because dogs love it when I come home. Our dog goes nuts when I come home, almost as crazy as my wife does when I come home. Our dog just, I'm so excited. Jumps up and down, runs around, runs in, runs across the room, back and forth. And by, I mean, our dog goes nuts. There's something wrong with our dog. You come home and you go, oh, God, he puts a smile on your face. Man wasn't doing that. Wasn't putting a smile on the face. So God, instead of pushing off, I'm just going to let the dogs have it. He pushed restart, restart. Sometimes when you push the restart, it gets all the bugs and all whatever's going on in there, kind of gets it out, and it seems like everything restarts and it goes better. And that's what God was doing. Control, Alt, Delete. No, I'm going to give him another shot. Restart. Yeah. And that's what he did. Why did Noah find grace, it says? Why did he find, but Noah found grace. Why? Verse 9 tells us. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and that was a tough generation. Noah walked with God. Three things. Three things, and God says, I just have to give this guy grace. The first thing was he was just. Tzaddik. It means lawful, righteous, made right in a moral sense, to bring justice. You see, Noah was a lawful man who did what was right. He believed in justice. He did what was right when everyone else was doing what was wrong. He was doing right when the world was doing wrong. And you have to realize, it's all of the world. There's no, just other than his family, everybody's doing wrong. You know how hard it is when everyone's doing wrong? Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it. Can I do it too? No. Everybody. And yet, without an example, so to speak, he's without a mentor, he's just choosing to do right. That would be hard. That would be difficult without a lot of people trying to help you through it. He did what was right when the world was doing wrong. He was swimming upstream in a world that was going downstream, and it was going downstream fast. I think we should take note when people talk to you, hey, we should go and you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. You know that's wrong. I think God's saying, hey, be a Noah. Be a Noah. Say no to that. The second one, perfect in his generations. Tamim is a Hebrew word. It means entire, integrity, truth, complete, sincerely. You see, Noah was a man of integrity. He wasn't without sin, but he valued the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that will combat sin and put you back on the right track again. It's when we start diluting what truth is that we get into error of sin. We start saying, well, we can do this and that's okay and I deduce this and hey, oh, no, we have to go to this. It's not your own deductions of, you know, I think that happened and this and so this should be okay. No, this says what's okay and what's not okay. We can't listen to a society that's looking for a way to sin and trying to justify that sin. We got to look to our God who's looking for a way that brings righteousness and justifies the righteousness by what he says. We have to be able to stand up and stand for truth, truth, truth. Noah was willing to face, what's the truth here? I need to change that. When you can go to God and go, God, search my heart. Search me, Lord. Look at me. Give me the truth. And then, Lord, lead me in the way that's everlasting. Lord, I need to go in the right direction. But I need your guidance. I need you. Not a world out there that's deep in sin telling me it's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. We get our okay from this, not from that. In his generations, it says perfect, in his generations, in his generation, he was an upright man in an upside down world. An upright man in an upside down world. Believe me, I know when you're out there and all of a sudden someone's asking you to do this and that and your friends and blah, blah, blah. Noah knew and was able to stand in truth and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Even in the midst of everyone else who said, but Noah, everybody else is doing it. We need to stand strong in this upside down world. How about you? You know, some of you, I know some people are getting saved out here. We've got a lot of people getting saved. Some of you are first generation Christians. Nobody else in your family, nobody led you to that point. You came to know Jesus. Do you understand what you're changing down the line in your life? Your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren are going to talk about my uncle or my aunt or my grandfather or my grandmother, or they're going to say, he or she was a man of God. And they instilled things inside of me and talked to me about who Jesus was, and they believed in me. Thirdly, he walked with God. Instead of walking out from the presence of God like Cain did, remember? Cain walks out from the presence of God, murders someone, murders his brother, then he walks away from God, goes to Nod, or I want to call it Nod, kind of nodded off. He became worthless. But unlike him, he walked with God, walked with God. Noah listened to and followed the lead of God. He didn't follow the crowd. He said no to self and yes to God, while the world said no to God, or if you will, to heck with you, God. And yes to self and selfishness. Remember Cain, his word, his name means selfishness. Noah walked right smack dab into the center of God's will in a culture that was completely against it. He submitted to the will of God. He loved God more than he loved himself, and not many people to help him and support him in his journey. Yet he did it. He did it. Noah had strength, determination, personal conviction, and a close personal walk with God. And this is so important for us today. We, like Noah, need to have strength, determination, personal conviction, and a walk with God. That's really a walk to remember. A walk with God. I love this, and I've shared this before. I want to quickly go over it, but this idea of walking with God. The first time it's used, the word walk, is Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid them because they were in sin. But you know what I believe? I believe God was out on his walk, and Adam and Eve were walking with him for those years before sin entered. I think they were walking with God in the garden, and he was talking to them, and they were sharing with him. And something caused them to realize, we're going to back off from this walk. They enter into sin, and then they move away and hide. I've always wondered, what if they would have come running? Dad, we did with the fruit in their hand. Ah! Instead, they run and hide. And to this day, we hide sin in our life instead of getting rid of it. The second instance is in 5:24. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, where did he take him? I love it. You have to go to Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch walked, was taken. Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I mean, you're going through the genealogy, and all of a sudden, Enoch, well, he's gone. He's around for 300 some odd years, and boom, God takes him. It's like, what happened? God's saying, I love this walk. Our walk is so awesome. I don't want you down there no more. I want you right up here with me. Didn't even taste death. And I love what it said, pleased him, because the word pleased, you are esteo, and it means, this is powerful, to gratify entirely. He pleased God. He so gratified God to the uttermost that God said, man, I know I got you down there, but thirdly, Noah walked with God, the third one in the scripture. And let me say this. God loves it when you take the time to walk with him. Get away from where you are. Get away from your dorm room. Get away from your work. Get away from your house. Just go on a walk. Talk. Lord, here's what's going on. Man, just start talking to him. Talking to him. If you're in sin, just start confessing. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me for this and that. And just chat with him. Because he'll start speaking to you. I believe in a walk with God so much that no matter if what conference, other than our marriage retreat, if I do a conference and at the men's retreat, they're going to go on a walk with God. They all know that. All of you college students going to walk with God at the big weekend. Is that what it's called now? Yep. Well, because we started that 40 years ago. You guys are going to go on a walk with God. I don't know when I walk. Get out there, look up, and say, Jesus, I need you. And you'll be surprised. And people come back and go, God put something on my heart. He said something to me. And I go, yeah, he's awesome. Let me tell you what, God is a better preacher and a better teacher than anybody you're going to find. He's the best. Listen to him. What is he saying to you? What is he convicting you of right now? Just let go of it. But Lord, I don't know how I can. Just open up your hands. And go, I'm going to need a lot of help because I'm kind of grabby. I grab stuff back. All right, let's work on it. Don't just hold on with sin. Let it go. Let it go and ask him for help. Lord, I'm struggling. I need your help. I'm sure when Noah was walking, he wasn't sinless, but he just let go and let God. God, I don't know. I got this. My friends are all saying that. And I did. Lord, just take this from me. I just want to walk righteous and holy before you. I just want to be your kid. I just want to enjoy you. I want to enjoy the journey. Go on a walk with God. You should do it often. Just get away from everything. Find your spot where you just are in his presence. Oh, God, come. Speak to me, Lord. And whatever he puts on your heart, start confessing sin. Tell him how much you love him. Yes. Tell him you can't believe that you're so wonderful to me, that you're willing to bow down and talk with me. God, I've been so rotten. I've done. And then he says, I got plans. I got a future. I got a destiny. Oh my gosh, I'm going to use you. I am so excited about the next steps you're going to take. But Lord, he goes, don't look back there. You look at the next steps I'm going to have you take. He walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three of them. We don't know if they're triplets or if they happen at the same time or a few years apart or whatever. But Shem, just so you know, Shem in Latin means is the word Sem. It's where we get the word Semitic. The whole idea of Semitic comes from this name right here. Because Shem, Semitic, linguistically, is the Hebrew and Arabic language. Shem, or the Semitic people, settled in the Middle East, including Mesopotamia. Because remember, they're all going to, at the end of this, those three families are going to repopulate the earth, right? Mesopotamia, Syria, Arabia, Persia. His descendants include the Hebrews, descendants of Abraham, the Elamites, the Syrians, and Arameans. Ham, what did he do? He populated Africa, a lot of Africa, and also the Canaanite people in the Promised Land, all the Ites, Hittites, Perizzites. And Japheth, he populated Indo-European peoples. That's where they go. But where we get Semitic is from this Shem, the people of God. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. He keeps reiterating this. He said it many times. We've already talked about it. Filled with violence. Filled with violence. That word means to decay, to ruin, to spoiler, to waste. The word violence is the word kamas, and it means, or kamas, it means wrong, unjust, gain, cruel, damage, false, injustice, oppressor, unrighteousness, unjust gain. And the world was full of this. The thing that gets me, as I said last time, unjust game, when someone plays on the elderly and robs them of their money, or plays on young women and young boys and robs them of their innocence, ruins their lives. Oh, man, that gets me. That was the world that was happening back then. And it happens in our world today. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. He says it again. For all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. Everyone's doing what they want to do. Verse 12, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. The word ark here, it's the word Tevath, and it means a box. The ark. What was the ark? A box. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. A cubit is the distance from your forefinger here, your index. Which one's this one? Bad finger. That finger to there, the longest finger out. Maybe you're like that and this finger's longer, I don't know. From here to here, which is 18 to 22 inches. Mine happens to be 20.4 inches from here to here. 20.4 inches is what I am, right there. And I've lost my place, so just a moment. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, yes, oh, yes. We went to the Ark Encounter when we were at this last conference that we had, the RCMA conference. We went to Williamstown, Kentucky. We were in Lexington, drove up to Williamstown, Kentucky, and we saw a picture. We saw, not a picture, we saw the Ark Encounter, an actual representation of the Ark. The Ark, 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. 1.7 football fields, just 30 yards short of two football fields together. It's the largest, this structure is the largest timber-framed building in the world. There's no rudder. When they built it, there's no rudder, because God was going to take them wherever he wanted to take them, right? Because God was going to blow on that ship by the wind of the Spirit and would take him where he wants. You know, sometimes we have to let God have the rudder. Let God take us where he wants. Sometimes where you want to go and where he want to go ain't the same place. Just say, Lord, take over. Jesus, take the wheel, right? It took 75 to 100 years to build it. And Noah was 500 years old when he started it. Can you imagine that? How many people here are 500 years old? You're getting close, aren't you? Yep, you're getting close. Can you imagine 500 years and he's building an ark with his kids and their wives? They make a window on top of it and they put a door on the side of it, and he says, you shall make it a lower level, a second level, and a third level. There's three levels in it. And of everything living, every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind. What does it say? Kind. Of animals after their? Of every creeping thing on earth after its? Two of every? Will come to you. God's going to call them. The ultimate Dr. Doolittle. And he'll call them. And they came and they got on the ark. Two of every animal. How is that possible, you ask? I'm glad you asked. How is it possible? That's right. If you go to, you need to go to that Ark Encounter, because it's absolutely incredible. You'll take a, you need a half a day to go through it all. Tom and I did the last half in about 20 minutes, as they told us we're supposed to leave, and we kept not leaving. You know, you have to leave. No, and we kept not leaving. And it was only because of Tom that I stayed there. Sometimes Tom leads me in a bad direction. We were so intrigued by that. We would have done that floor first. By the way, if you go, do the third floor first. How is it possible? How is it possible? Well, the Ark Encounter explains the feasibility of the voyage through several scientific and biblical arguments. The first one, kinds versus species. In Genesis 6:20, the word kind, the Hebrew word is min, refers to a broad biological category or grouping of organisms that share common characteristics. Now follow this. Kind usually corresponds to the family level in modern taxonomy. For example, Noah did not need every variety of dog, wolf, and coyote. He only needed two representatives from the dog kind. After the flood, these animals use their inherent genetic variety to adapt and diversify into the many species that we see today. He didn't have to put a Great Dane on there and a Chihuahua and then a Josie. He didn't need all of them. He just needed two, and they would genetically move into whatever those genes were that were inside of them, and they were more genetically perfect, or more genetically, with a lot more genetic DNA at this point than we see today. Therefore, Noah did not need to carry millions of species. Instead, he carried approximately 1,398 kinds. They figured it out. 1,398 kinds of land-dwelling animals and flying creatures, totaling roughly 6,744 individual animals. So he has to figure out, how am I going to get about almost 7,000 animals on this? And they figured it out. And you go there and they tell you how it's all going to work. They can get them all there. They can get them all there. They talk about the physical space and size. The ark was a massive vessel measuring 510 by 85 by 51 feet. Its total volume was roughly 1.88 million cubic feet, equivalent to the capacity of 450 to 522 standard semi-trailers. The average size of the animal. Most animals on the ark were small enough. The average size was just kind of a small sheep. That's the average size. Then juvenile animals. They didn't take the big ones. They took the little ones when they were just born. That's how they got a lot more on there. It's projected that Noah would have taken young or juvenile representatives of larger animals, like dinosaurs. Who likes dinosaurs? Okay. They're here. According to them, they like dinosaurs and elephants. Because they take up less space, small ones, eat less, produce less waste. Come on. And have a longer reproductive life ahead of them. They can mate more often. I love this thing about dinosaurs, and I'm going to get off on just a side thing because I don't have enough time, but they think the ice age happened after the flood. And they're going, well, we don't have enough time. We need millions and billions and trillions of years and all of that. And they're going, no. I think we just need centuries and centuries and centuries of time. Because the odd thing was, remember that, Tom, when we went up there and we saw, they saw in Greenland, in 1942, there was a squadron of planes flying over, and there's a big blizzard, and so they land on Greenland just to kind of save themselves. They couldn't go any further. Well, 50 years later, they come back to get those planes. 50 years later. Do you know where the plane was 50 years later? Under 268 feet of ice. In 50 years, 268 feet of ice accumulated. And they have a thing that dug down to it, and they pulled it out, took it out by pieces, and reassembled it. They called it the Glacier Girl. What they're saying is this: ice accumulated a lot faster than in just millions and millions. I'm just throwing that out there, okay? Do with it as you will. Excluded creatures. The ark only needed to house land-dwelling, all air-breathing animals. This excluded marine animals. They couldn't survive in the water. Excuse me. I'm going too fast now. They could survive in the water. Hallelujah. Your pastor just said that fish can't live in water. And then he told me some biblical truth, and I'm going, should I believe him or not? They could survive in water. You ask me, what about the freshwater ones? Wouldn't the salt water and the freshwater mix? And wouldn't those that need fresh water, what are they going to do? I'm glad you asked that one. Well, freshwater is lighter than salt water. Freshwater would lay on the top, and the salt water would be on the bottom. And so those little fishies that needed fresh water would be up here, and the ones that needed salt water would be down there. Insects. They could survive outside the ark on floating debris. They've got logs and marsh and all sorts of stuff that's floating out there. Care and management. Studies suggest that 8 people, Noah's family, could feasibly manage all the animals using labor-saving techniques like they piped this water. They had all these bamboo things that were piping water everywhere. Self-feeders, they slanted the spots so when they urinated, it would roll off and go out. They had all of these things. Like pipe water, self-feeders, specialized enclosures designed, waste management and ventilation systems. They had it all. It's crazy. I was just amazed. I'm going, wow. They solved problems I didn't even think about asking. But they said, it could be done. It could be done. It could be done. Verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did it. Think about what God is asking him to do. To build an ark. When there had never been a flood. You have to realize that this time the ground is being watered from the dew and from underwater springs. They don't even experience rain. And God says it's going to rain. What's that? Do you realize what God asked Noah to do was so almost impossible? I can't believe Noah didn't just say, Lord, there's no way that can be done. And it doesn't even make sense to me, Lord. It doesn't make sense that I would spend 100 years of my life building something. I don't even have a concept of what you're talking about. But he did. Sometimes we need more information from God in order to do what you want to do in your life. Think about Noah. He didn't have very much information. But I think he was glad. Verse 7. Then Noah, and he did it all. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are a righteous before me in the generations. He says it again. You can live morally right in an immoral generation and society because that's what he did. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Ouch. I wondered and I asked myself, I wonder if Noah... we got to get our family. Or did he tell anybody else? Hey, you guys, repent, repent, repent. But we don't see it in Scripture until you get to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:5 says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness. He was telling everybody, you guys, it's going to rain. I'm making up this boat. Come. But they were so hardened, they wouldn't believe. For 75 to 100 years while building the ark, he pleaded with people, please repent. Judgment is coming. The people, they say, what are you building? Noah said, an ark, it's going to rain. The people, what's rain? Well, and the people laughed at him. Can you imagine that he was the butt end of many jokes? The butt end of many, many jokes. You know, a lot of times us Christians, we're the butt end of jokes. Because society sees with their intellect a whole different way. Just like this society saw and looked at Noah and thought, you fool. The butt end of a joke. The butt end of jokes. Until. And then the rain came. Drip. Drip. Drip, and they're all going, what's that? What? It's falling from the sky. What is this? Water comes from down here. What? And all of a sudden, it kept going more and more and more. And you know what? He wasn't the butt end of the joke anymore. Because what he said was the absolute truth. People, what you're saying out there is the truth. That God loves them, that God cares about them. And he wants you. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him to do. He says it again here in 7 verse 5. God always takes note of your obedience. He always takes note of your obedience. Look at him. I told him, it's crazy what I told him, and I didn't give him much information. And look what he did. He risked all the ridicule, all the jokes, all of that, but he stood strong for me. He did what I said. He did what I commanded him to do. Noah, he was just walking with God. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on the day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. They're getting it from both ends. All of the streams, all of the underground stuff, it broke open and it started flooding it out and the rain came down. And the windows of heaven were opened and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Day zero, Noah and his family enter the ark. Day seven days later, the fountains of the deep burst open and the windows of heaven are opened. Rain begins. Day 47, 40 days of rain. The heavy rain stops after 40 days. Day 150, 103 days later, because the rain stopped, but the floodwaters coming from underneath did not stop. The floodwaters reached their peak. And finally they stop. And then God sends a wind and the waters begin to recede. The wind speeds up the evaporation. Day 150, as I said, the ark comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat on eastern region of Turkey. Day 224, 74 days later, the tops of the surrounding mountains become visible. Day 264, 40 days later than that, Noah opens the window and releases a raven. Day 271, 7 days after that, Noah sends out a dove for the first time to find no place to rest, and it returns. Day 278, 7 days later, the dove is released again and returns back with a fresh olive leaf. Day 285, 7 days later, the dove is released a third time and does not return, signaling it found dry ground. Day 314, 29 days after that, Noah removes the covering of the ark and sees the surface of the ground is dry. And then 57 days after that, day 370, 371, the earth is officially dried out. God commands Noah and his family to exit the ark. They're in a boat for 1 year, a little over 1 year, obeying God, doing what he called them to do. And then God gave them a rainbow. A rainbow with the promise that he will never bring judgment on the world with a flood. He'll never bring judgment on the world with a flood again. God got his reset, but he's coming again. Did that scare you? Yes. Good job. I said, please scare them. Yay, good job. He's coming again. Jesus talked to them about the end times in verse 27 of Matthew 24. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And when that flashes, it's too late. It's over. He goes on to talk about this in amazing ways. He brought a reset, but judgment is still coming. Jesus describes the end times when he'll come again and he'll judge with fire. Verse 3b, and what will the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And because of lawlessness, verse 12, Lawlessness will abound again, and love of many will grow cold. They'll go cold toward me. They won't walk with me. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. The gospel we preach, a time of tribulation. And then Jesus says this, warning, warning, warning. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be when he comes again. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. People are going to be taken away who have no idea they should give their life to the Lord or refuse to. It'll come when we don't know. In an instant, he's coming. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also, say it with me, be ready. You also, be ready. Are you? Are your friends? For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Be ready. Nikki, where's Nikki Taylor? Nikki, I was so... We just cried and we watched. What a baptism. This gal, she gets saved with the Lord. She gets saved and the next day she runs to Walmart and buys a Bible. So excited, so energized. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I got to read. I got to know what he wants. He's got a plan, a destiny, a future for my life. And he touched her in such a powerful way. She's ready. And she's growing. Like Nikki. Make sure you are ready. We are now living in the days, I believe, of Noah, with wickedness and lawlessness and evil on the rise, people hurting and abusing other people. If you're not ready, today is the day. Remember, Noah found grace. Find his grace. Today is a day of grace. You can find it. It's so easy to see it. It's so easy to grasp hold of it. Find it. Come, please, give your life to Jesus if you haven't. I beg you. He loves you so, so very much. It doesn't matter what you've done or how many times you've done it. When you said you'd never do it again. Come. If you need to recommit your life, come. He loves you so much. But he's coming. He's coming for those who are ready. Now is a time of grace, but it won't last forever. Like in the days of Noah, judgment is coming. And the Spirit bakes you. Get ready. Get ready. Stay ready. And grow. Father, here's a lesson we're supposed to learn from what happened to those people who it all came on them unexpectedly. You gave it as a sign for us today. Oh, you won't destroy us with water. But Lord, fire's coming. And then a new heaven and a new earth. God, you have so much in store for us while we're here walking this earth. But we have to walk it with you, with right relationship with you. We need to make sure that you're the Lord of our lives and that we're listening to your voice and that we're falling on our knees when we just mess up. And then you pick us back up and say, come on, I got you. We just want to be ready, Lord, for whatever you say each and every day to us, that we'll just simply say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I will get into the mix in 2026. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you do not know the Lord, I beg you, please come. If you need to recommit your life to the Lord, there's going to be people coming up here that will pray with you. Need prayer for anything else, please just come up here. Let God, the lover of your soul, who loves you so much, let him forgive you. Let him reset you. Let him love on you and watch what he does in your life. Nikki, I want to keep track of you because I know God's going to use you. I know you're going into the service, but you're first of all in his service. God bless you, kid. Love you guys.